Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Huh? I love this company. This company likes to receive and hear the word. And it's easy to minister because you draw from the anointing. And it makes a big difference whenever you're ministering. I want to continue teaching on the mystery of the kingdom of God. We were talking about in Mark 4:26-29, where Jesus said, "So is the kingdom of God as if a man would cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." And also in Luke 13, verse 18 and 19, it says, "Then said he," that's Jesus, "said unto them, What is the kingdom of God like? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden. And it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowl of the air lodged in the branches of it." So we were discussing about the mystery of the kingdom and how this kingdom operates. Even Sullivan expounded in Ecclesiastes 10. I don't want to get into a lot of what we covered last session, but get the CDs. They're free, so you could hook up right where we're at. But Solomon made reference to the inward man being infused in the womb of a woman when she's pregnant with a child. And Solomon made the statement, "Do you understand that?" Solomon was expounding upon the mystery of the kingdom and the heart of man that's infused within every human being when they're conceived. So this the heart of man is the ground which is able to produce the seed of God's word. Now, in this lesson here, what I want to do is I want to continue. We're teaching along the lines of the power of confession, receiving through your spoken words from God. And I want to continue along that line, but I want to take it in a different light, a different picture, because God speaks in pictures. When we're studying the mystery of the kingdom of God, we see all this agricultural terminology being used: ground, seed, growth, first the blade, then the ear, and the full corn in the ear. What I want you to do is understand from this picture how confession operates. In the natural, to get a seed to germinate, you need first as a seed, you need ground, you need water, and you need light, naturally speaking. Well, with the Word of God, it's the same way. Now, in this session here, I want to center in on the seed. And this would be basically what I would, for a title for this message here, would be "Rest in the Power of the Seed." Rest in the power of the seed. It's like a farmer. A farmer doesn't worry about his seed producing if it's in the right season and he plants it. He rests in the fact that there's a harvest coming. Many, when they're trusting God, especially when they're dealing with issues in their body that might seem way beyond your capability of believing, people are reluctant to act upon the Word of God. But if you understand these principles that I'm sharing to you, you'll be able to rest in the power of the seed. Your heart has been designed of God to bring forth what's sown in it. Actually, James says, don't deceive your heart. In other words, what you desire to produce in your life is up to you what you sow. You can actually deceive your heart by speaking the wrong things. Your heart doesn't know any difference but to produce the seeds or the words that you're saying. So another thing I want to say is this is, your words are seeds, but also your actions are seeds. And I share a conversation that the Lord had with Kenneth Hagin about the woman with the issue of blood. He made two statements, one concerning the confession of a person's mouth. A person, basically, when he said about the woman could have made a negative confession, but she didn't. She made a positive confession. She made that decision. if I touch but the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. The other statement he made to Brother Hagin was this, that there was the saying part and the doing part. The doing part is the action part. Without a person's actions, a person's either kept from receiving or he receives through their action. Now, the action is basically in two forms. One, the words of your mouth, and two, by the doing of the word. Okay, the action part, that's why James says, don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers. As a result of you being a doer to the word, you just planted seed for harvest because you've been obedient. Now, I want to go to Hebrews 10:23, and this will be in the Amplified here. And this is the Apostle Paul writing, and this is about confession. Actually, I'll quote what the King James says. It says, let us hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. Now, the Amplified says this, so let us seize and hold fast. Let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess, and our acknowledgement of it. For he who promised is reliable, sure, faithful to his word. Now, Paul's giving you a little insight here about seizing and holding fast to, because your confession can slip. James makes this statement, we all say the wrong things. When James begins in chapter 3, in his discourse is on the mystery of the kingdom, but he uses a lot of different illustrations than what has been recorded in the Gospels. And I don't know if he got that from Jesus in his side lessons. He lived in the same household, but James talked about the ship and the rudder on the ship, and it has a little rudder, and it's able to turn that thing when it's in fierce winds, which is a type of storms. Your tongue will turn the situation. That's why I'm saying having rest in the power of the seed. So Paul's saying that we have to seize and hold fast and retain without wavering. James says, when anybody asks of the Lord, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. James making mention of that in asking prayer, but the same principles hold true whether you're asking or whether you're saying to receive. You follow what I'm saying? The law of faith works the same. When you're petitioning the Lord in the area of asking him for something, you still have to say, because he's creating the fruit of your lips. He's hearkening unto the voice of your confession. Paul says he's the high priest of your confession. So he's always hearkening to your words, because in the containers of words is where faith is released. So we have to seize, hold fast, and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and the acknowledgement of it. Now, Paul says this in Philemon 1:6. This is a pretty long discourse, but in Philemon, he makes the same statements, but he says, your faith is effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. The word effectual means it's working. So whenever you begin to decree, your faith is working to some degree. Now, if you're dealing with a situation that seems insurmountable, you rest in the power of the seed, because the seed is designed to produce what God's designed it to produce. Now, let's go to Isaiah 59, verse 20 and 21 in the Amplified. And it says here, he shall come, this is referring to Jesus, a redeemer to Zion, and to those in Jacob, Israel, who turn from transgression, says the Lord. As for me, God, this is my covenant or league with them. Them he's speaking of is those that are in Zion, the church of Zion, and those that are in Jacob, which is Israel, says the Lord. My spirit who is upon you. Now, this is God the Father making a declaration concerning Jesus, who is the Redeemer. Now listen very carefully what God is saying concerning his son, who is a man. I like to center on the Son of Man more than I do the Son of God, because in Christianity, they put the Son of God always in the forefront, and not realizing that Jesus ministered as a man under the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost with the Word of God, no different than you or I. Actually, to be a Christian is to be Christ-like, so you got to be doing the same things that he did, not just in your actions and the way you lived, but in the way he ministered. I don't know why the church don't get a hold of that. It's something they just let sort of go over their head. So God is making this declaration of this prophecy concerning Jesus. My spirit who is upon you and who writes the law of God inwardly on the heart. And my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth. Now you got to realize what departing out of the mouth is making reference. When the Word of God isn't in your mouth, it has departed. It is always to be in your mouth. If it's not in your mouth, it's departed. Jesus was the living epistle. He walked, quote, spoke, preached, and continually confessed the Word of God. His confession of him being the Son of God was a major confession as you read the Gospels. They ask him, who do you say that I am? I'm the Christ. He would make those declarations. So he was always decreeing God's word. So God is saying here, he is the one that writes the law of God or writes the word of God inwardly on the heart. Now this is applying to us too. Now, he doesn't do this without your cooperation. In other words, you hold a part in this. Last lesson we talked about where the scripture showed us about breaking up fallow ground. Fallow ground is ground that's laid idle without seed being sown in it in the time of the growing season. God does not want you to be fallow ground. He said, break up that ground, sow the seed. With God, there is no season with seed. Because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Whatever you want from God, take the seed, begin to sow it and decree it. It's today. It's always in the now. There is no sowing season or a planting season with God. It's always round the clock, 365 days a year. So he's the one that writes the law inwardly on the heart, and my words which I have put in thee shall not depart of thy mouth. Now watch the next statement. Or out of the mouth of your true spiritual children. Now the true spiritual children are the born again believers. That's Zion. We're Zion. The word is not to depart out of the spiritual children's mouth or out of the mouths of your children's children, says the Lord, from henceforth and forevermore. Now your confession, when you're walking in this, till the day you die, you'll be making decrees if you're walking by faith. Because the just shall live by faith. So anything that you want from the Lord, you're going to have to begin to speak it and decree it. Even in the life of Jesus, the Bible says he grew in God's word, in statutes, and in his commandments. As his custom was, he was always in the synagogue reading and meditating upon the word. That's how the word of God got in him. God just didn't put that word in him. God either spoke to him, because Jesus said, I don't do anything that I first don't hear the Father say or see. So the Father had to make the declaration, whether it was the written word or the spoken word. Jesus had to begin to act upon that, whether he saw it in the scriptures. We saw that in Isaiah 60 a few lessons ago, where he decreed about the Spirit of the Lord being upon him and anointing him. to heal the sick and preach the gospel to the poor and so on. He found that place. Well, if he found that place, he must have spent times in the scrolls. So what I'm saying is the Word of God does not get written in your heart unless somebody writes it. Somebody has to write it, or you take the Word yourself and write it. That's how the Word of God inwardly gets in your heart. And it's supposed to be in your children's heart also, and their children's. And this is the process that's to go on henceforth and forever. The Word of God is supposed to be engrafted in every individual's heart. Now, if you don't have the Word of God concerning divine healing engrafted in your heart, you're ignorant of what God has to say concerning healing. And I've said this before, it's hard to reap a harvest where there's no seed sown. You can't get people baptized in the Holy Ghost if you don't minister on the line of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's denominations filled with people that are not filled with the Spirit. The reason they have not had anybody writ upon the table of their heart concerning what the Scripture has to say. There has been no seed sown in that area. So they're lacking in that area of provision that God says, I've given you the gift. Jesus says, another comforter I have provided for you, whom the world cannot receive because the world doesn't see him and they don't know him. But Jesus said, you know him. So whenever that seed is sown in anybody's heart and they begin to act upon it, then they can receive that provision. The same way with healing, same way with the individual who's lost. If he's never shared the gospel, the seed of salvation cannot produce in the man's heart or a woman's heart. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 and 15 here. And remember, this is rest in the power of the seed. Now Genesis 3, 14 says this, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It, that's the seed, shall bruise thy head, and thou shall bruise his heel. Now this is a declaration that God made. It was a prophetic announcement after the fall of Adam. Actually, it was right after Adam and Eve fell. The Bible says that Eve was deceived. Eve partook of the fruit that was forbidden. She gave to her husband who was there. He wasn't out naming bugs somewhere. He was present right there with her. And because of Adam failing to exercise his authority, he had authority over everything. He had authority over everything that creeped. Certain serpents were creeps. He had authority over it, but he didn't exercise his authority. And Eve, being deceived, partakes of the tree. And Adam partakes being with her. Now, God makes a decree. This is interesting to realize, and this is part about resting in the power of the seed. When Adam partook, that's when they knew that they were naked. Okay, what happened was the glory of God left them. They were clothed in the glory of God. And as soon as they realized they were naked, they went out and sowed fig leaves to cover themselves because they were covered with the glory. And you'll find out later on the account that God took skins of an animal to clothe them. It's a type of the death of one giving its life to cover their sin. It's a type of Christ. There was an animal that had to be slain and covered them. But what it is a picture of them being covered from their sins by an animal skin, because there was shedding of blood at that time that for that animal skin to be used as a covering on Adam and Eve. But when God told them in the garden, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, the day that you eat that tree, you're going to surely die. Now, one scripture says, in dying, thou shalt die. At this time, there was no physical death loosed in the earth. There was no sickness and disease loosed. It was harmony. The garden was to produce for them. Now, in this new covenant, our garden within our heart is to produce for us. We are to till this garden, okay? Adam was set in the garden to till that garden, take care of that garden. See, they're pictures. They're contrasting, you know, what was previous and what is now. They dwelt in a garden. God places a garden within us. This garden in us produces for us now. That garden back then produced for them. That garden had the capacity to grow. If Adam and Eve would have never sinned, it would have kept growing and growing and growing to provide for humanity. So under the new covenant, when you get the new birth, the heart of man that's regenerated receives, well, it has the capacity to produce God's word, because even when you're lost, it produces God's word in your heart. That's how you get born again. But the word of God will cause the regeneration of a man's heart. And my point is this about resting in the seed. When you know that in dying that you died, in other words, when you sin, or not when we sin, but when Adam sinned, his inward man died spiritually. He was estranged from God. He was separated. The easiest way to explain it is like light and darkness. Proverbs says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of his belly. Solomon is likening the inward man to like a lamp. It's lit. It's the candle. Well, when Adam sinned, his light went out. Now, when God breathed into Adam when he created him, light went into him. Life went into him. The Spirit of God went in. Actually, it's recorded in Matthew in the genealogy that Adam was called the Son of God. That's right. Jesus is the second Adam. First Adam failed. Second Adam comes and redeems us. So because of his transgression, he loses physical death in the earth because of spiritual death. In dying, thou shalt die. This is why we die physically. Adam set that in motion. But because of this taking place, God begins to make a declaration to the serpent. And he begins to set into motion that there's one coming who's called the seed. And the woman is going to produce this seed. Now, a woman doesn't have seed. A woman has an egg. And this helps you to understand the virgin birth. This is the same principle that Mary operated under. She probably didn't know it when the angel Gabriel came and says you were going to conceive a child. And it was actually what she was conceiving was the word of God, which was the sperm, which caused the birth or the conception of Jesus in her womb. And she believed it in her heart and she decreed it with her lips. The same principle operated. So what the Lord was saying here, there's going to be enmity. Now, the word enmity means mutual hatred. Mutual hatred between the woman and the seed. Satan hates Jesus. Jesus hates the devil. That's why he came. 1 John 3:8 says, this is the reason why the Son of God was manifested, that he might loose and dissolve and destroy the works that the devil had done. That's why he was manifested. So the seed of the woman, now I'm going to read it in this light. This is a translation in the New International, says this, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Now, the he's referring to is Jesus. That's the seed. Now, notice it says crush. Head is symbolic of Satan's authority. What God is decreeing, the seed will crush the head of the serpent. Let me say it this way. The seed of God's word will crush sickness and disease in your body. Now, here's my statement again. Rest in the power of the seed. In other words, these promises, these great and exceeding precious promises that we have are given to us, and that's how we partake of God's nature. The seed of the promise of like 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That verse will crush the head of disease in your body.
Glory to God. That's
good. All right? Rest in the seed. Rest in the power of the seed. Now let's go to Genesis 8:22. Now we're centering in on the seed part. Like I said, naturally speaking, a farmer needs seed, he needs ground, he needs water, and he needs light for a harvest. We're centering on right now in this lesson just on the seed, especially the power that's in the seed and resting in that power. Now, Genesis 8:22 says this, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, in summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Now, the earth is still remaining. Seed time is two words, seed and time. Now, naturally speaking, there's a time to plant as far as seasonal I'm making reference to. You know, we plant usually in the springtime for the harvest. And there's also a time span of germination. Now, getting back to the mystery of the kingdom, first the blade, then the ear, and the full corn in the ear, shows the process of growth. And I said it before, and I'll say it again, that's the norm. That's the norm. That's how you walk by faith. It'll be first the blade, then the ear, and the full corn in the ear. If you're praying and you have a suddenly, that's great. All God did was speed this process up.
That's right.
That's all he did. And you put in the sickle for the harvest. But if you don't see that manifestation coming that route, then you rest in the power of the seed. Knowing that your heart has been designed of the Lord to produce that seed. You don't know how it operates. Don't even try going there because you're not going to know. You're not going to know. You know in part and you prophesy in part, the Bible says. So there's seed and there's time associated with seed. And there's also a harvest associated. And in this verse here, it also talks about day and night. And we've seen in the mystery of the kingdom, after the seed is sown, he sleeps and rises day and night. It's given us also the process. And it also declares in the last part of that verse, it shall not cease. In other words, this principle will not cease. Now somebody says, well, Dan, this has to do with God and the creation of Genesis, yeah, but what you have to realize is harvesting, seed time, sowing all has to do with natural and spiritual. You can't separate the two because Jesus referred to the natural constantly to give you spiritual perception of what's going on with the Word of God and your heart. So these things that we see in the natural apply spiritually. So there's a time for seeding and there's a time for growth. And when we found out about breaking up your fallow ground, we find out that God is desiring for your heart to always produce every day. There's no season as far as seed planting with God. It's always time to sow. Today is the day of salvation. Now let's look at something in 1 Peter 1:23 about the seed. 1 Peter 2:23, it says here, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, this is talking about the born-again experience. Now, what's interesting, I like the Amplified version on this, which says, you have been regenerated, born again, not from a mortal origin, seed or sperm, but from one that is immortal by the ever-living and lasting Word of God. I like what Peter says here, regeneration. Now, I want to share something new about the power of the seed. Whenever the gospel was sown to you, did you worry about the seed causing a regeneration in your heart? Huh? Most of us didn't know squat. You know, I know when I was shared the gospel, the guy said to me, you know, after he shared the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, he said, you know, all you have to do is confess him as your Lord. I didn't have regeneration on my mind. The power of the seed. Power of the seed without lack of understanding. You don't. You. I mean, when that takes place, you don't know anything about the born again experience.
Yeah.
You don't know squat. That's awesome. But the seed worked.
Yeah.
And it regenerated. It brought you out of the kingdom of darkness, put you into the kingdom of light. And I want to say this, you rested in the power of the seed because all you simply did was believe what was said to you.
That's right.
I'm trying to make this easy in receiving. Rest in the power of the seed. If you're dealing with insurmountable symptoms in your body, you rest. You work the Word of God and you rest. You rest in the power of the seed knowing that it's going to germinate. So the Word of God here in the Amplified says it's seed and it's sperm. Now that's, like I said, I was referring to Mary conceiving Jesus. I mean, I want to say, people, you got to think about that. Read that account in Luke 1 where the angel comes, gives her a message. She says, how is this going to happen, dude? Well, the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you, you know. So she simply believes it. And she makes her declaration, be unto me according to thy word.
Yes.
And conception took place. Conception. Mm-hmm. Caused Jesus to be formed in her womb. Now, if we can just rest in the power of the seed, she rested in the power of the promise or the message that was coming. That's all she did. She just rested in it. Okay, I believe it. I decree it. I'll keep it in my mouth. So, the word is sperm, it's seed, and it's able to cause regeneration in the person who's unsaved without that person having a whole lot of knowledge, actually really no knowledge about the operation of the mystery of the kingdom of God. Now let's go to Genesis 1, verse 11 and 12 and see what the Word of God has to say about the seed. And it says here, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb, yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Notice the statement whose seed is in itself is mentioned twice in those two verses. God is bringing something out. The seed is in itself. Now, remember the account in Luke when Jesus was saying about teaching on forgiveness. If your brother trespasses against you, you're to forgive him if he asks you for forgiveness. And he went on to say 70 times 7, which is 490 times in a day. And the apostles says, well, they basically, you know, were having a brain meltdown. You got to be kidding, Lord, 490 times. And they made this statement. Now, I'm paraphrasing this, but You remember the count. The apostle says, Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord says, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would
say.
Okay. Now, what is we looking at here? Whose seed was in itself? Remember, faith operates like a seed. All right. They asked the Lord, increase our faith. He said, if you had faith as a seed, forget mustard. People get all mixed up and trip over mustard. He's talking about it operating like a seed. Lord, increase our faith. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say. If you had faith as a seed, you would say. What did they want? Increase our faith. Whose seed was in itself? The seed, which is faith, has the ability to produce itself. The seed was in itself. The seed of faith has the ability to produce and multiply within you. If you say, because you are planting it in your heart. You got it? The seed is in itself twice. It's in itself to produce. Now, there was also another account where the disciples failed in casting the devil out a lunatic child. And that child was throwing himself into fire and water, driving his dad crazy. He was suicidal. And the disciples failed to get the kid free. So the father brings the child to Jesus. Jesus ministers to the child and sets the child free, casts the devil out of the child. The disciples say to the Lord, in their own time of being off together, why couldn't we cast the devil out of them? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. They didn't act upon the word. The circumstances dictated, and they failed. They failed because he said, your unbelief. Unbelief is a person just won't act, won't say, won't do. Now, Jesus, when he said it was their unbelief, he gave them a key or the remedy for unbelief. He says, if you had grain as a mustard seed, you would say. Okay, if you had faith as a seed. My point is, even in unbelief, the seed is in itself to overcome unbelief. In other words, what you're decreeing, 1 Peter 2:24, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Psalms 103, verse 3, bless the Lord, all my soul, forgives all my iniquities, all my faults, my failures. He heals all my diseases. Those are seeds. That seed, when you decree it with your faith, that seed has the ability to overcome unbelief in your life. It has the ability to increase your faith, but you have to say. The seed is in itself. Rest in the power of the seed. Because it's so easy to get worked up, especially when you get a report from the doctors. There's nothing wrong with going to doctors, but I'll say this. Don't allow a doctor's report to throw you. Because they're just telling you what they're saying. Don't let that throw you. I mean, that's easier said than done. Because I've dealt with people with, you know, diagnosed with cancers, and the prognosis is, you know, you got six months to a year to live. I mean, that's detrimental. But my point is this: the seed itself, even though that seems almost insurmountable, the seed, if you'll rest in the seed, the power of the seed will crush that. It'll crush it. The power of the seed will crush poverty in your life. If you stay with it and constantly declare, Jesus, who was so rich, became so poor with my poverty. And you might not believe that, and you might not have much money, but you continue to say that, the seed is in itself to produce that. And all you're doing is resting in the seed or the promise. It's vital to understand the operation of this, because many throw in the towel. If they don't see a manifestation within a few days, believe me, my wife and I have ministered to a lot of people. They throw in the towel. You know, I'm glad I didn't throw in the towel when my son had psoriasis. I stayed with it. To this day, he's free. You know, and the doctor wanted him, well, the report of the doctor was he's going to probably constantly be on steroids. Well, long-term steroid use is bad. There's so many side effects. No, I'm not one to tell you, you know, because like back in the 80s, when this was getting to be real prominent as a teaching, you had all kind of people doing stuff like taking their kid off insulin, and the next thing you know, they were calling it faith, and all of a sudden the child died. It would be broadcast on the news, and they said, well, they learned that in this church. Then the church is tagged with an occult. Okay, and they're not understanding the mystery of the kingdom. That's why teaching is so important. Yeah. I would never tell anybody to throw their medication away. Because let me help you. If you're just in the blade state, you can be in the blade state, be in faith, and still have symptoms. It's not the full corn in the ear yet. And if you need something to calm the natural down, by all means. I mean, when I stand against them kidney stones, man, I'm taking ipropofrium, aspirin, and Aleve and everything else. And the doctor said, with my occupation, I can't take anything that has any type of, you know, stronger type stuff, because I'm always subject to being drug tested because I operate a train. So, the doctor said, I can give you, stronger stuff. Well, I can't take it, doc. So that was a help to me, cutting some of the pain down. But I constantly was decreeing. You could ask my wife. She'd ask me how I'm feeling. I just believe I'm healed. She knew I was in pain. Because there's times when I get out of bed, my back hurts so bad. But I continued to confess it and say it and decree it. And it came to pass, I passed it. I said, in Jesus' name. And I made this decision, I'm going to receive by the spoken word. And that's key too. You know, are you going to petition the Lord, or are you going to receive through your decrees? Now, if you don't know the difference, you know, maybe I should ask, or maybe I should say, you know, so you're all confused. And the devil comes along and just beats you down, and you just, what the heck, I don't even know what I'm doing. And he whooped you. He stole the word right out of your heart. So it's important, when you're going to make a decision to believe him, how are you believing? Are you speaking? Are you receiving through the power of confession? Or have you asked him? And if you asked him, what you're saying and what your confession is going to govern what you receive. That's why I'm spending so much time on this. This is the foundation. Because when we get into petition prayer, it's simply this. Father, I ask you for this. In Jesus' name, I believe I receive it. I thank you. And then confess. But see, when you understand this is the foundation. Now you know what's going to govern how you receive from him. Is the words of your mouth and your heart going to work, producing what God has promised in his word? And it comes to pass. Yeah, Pastor just asked me about sharing with my son. When I ministered to my son, I took the Bible. I had a healing scripture book at home. I have all my scriptures in it, my notes and different things. I would sit there at bedtime. Now, he's 10 years old. That psoriasis started out with a little spot like that. Then it went to two big spots like this on his shins and two big spots on his elbow. And it just started out on a little, when it started out on a little speck, I should have started, but I didn't. Thinking, it's just going to go away. Next thing you know, I got a big thing now. And he was going to school. Kids were making fun of him because they wear Nike shorts and all that, and they were making fun of the way his legs looked and that. And he came home one day, and I know he didn't know this, but he said, you know, you should take me to a dermatologist. I'm thinking, you're only 10 years old. You don't even know what a dermatologist is. So I knew one of the teachers at school must have said something to him. So he comes home. He's 10 at this time. So we take him to the dermatologist. You know, by this time it's growing. Well, it's going pretty good. And, you know, my wife takes him, and she says, the doctor says he's probably going to have to be on steroids the rest of his life. And then they gave us this steroid cream to put on, which helped, you know, basically it just helped. It didn't look so bad. You know, it was still there, but it just didn't look so bad. It didn't have all the scales falling off of it and that. So knowing that I'm the head of my house, I'm going to get my son's healing. Now, my son, he's basically just, because he's under my authority, he's young. I can believe for him. So I begin to speak to that. I begin to take those scriptures. I begin to take Mark 11:23, and I would bring them to the Father's remembrance. I said, Father, in Jesus' name, he said, whosoever shall say to the mountain. So I'm saying to the mountain. And then I would quote what Jesus did in the Gospels about when he watched them tear the roof off of the house. He watched their faith. I says, Lord, I know you're watching my faith. So by purpose, I'm doing this. I'm working the word. Okay, and I did this over and over and over. And I begin to say, in the name of Jesus, psoriasis, you're cursed. You can't stay in my son's body in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm seeing new skin. I thank you for new skin in Jesus' name. Thank you for new skin. He's redeemed from the curse of psoriasis. Now, I'm saying this, okay? The next time I would do it, I'd say, Father, I just thank you that my words are coming to pass. The spirit of faith believes and therefore has spoken. We believe, present tense, and therefore speak. This is present tense, Lord. I believe that psoriasis is cursed. It can't stay. Psoriasis, I'm talking to you. Die, dry up in the name of Jesus. I'm speaking to you. You must obey me. Jesus said you must obey me. And I did this over a period of 3 years. Now, I would have liked to have said it went push and disappeared, but it didn't. It went the other way. The way it grew, that's the way it disappeared. And it came down to a little spot, and I believe it was probably the same spot where it started, and it wouldn't go away. Now, I'm going to teach you something here. My wife is in the living room with my son. He's sitting there. They're talking. He's sitting there in his Nike shorts, and I'm in my living room, and I turn, and it had to be the Spirit of God that did this. I turn and I looked right at his knee. When I seen that, I said to the Lord, because it had that little spot, Lord, I know that you're at work here. Why is that little spot still there? And he said this to me, why did you quit talking to it? And I tell you what, when I heard that, you asked my wife, I went right into the living room and I screamed at the top of my lungs. I said, in Jesus' name, you're cursed. You're cursed from the very root. You're removed. Dry up in Jesus' name. In about 7 days, it completely disappeared. Now, what I did was I turned the switch of faith off. Okay? I'm seeing results. It's regressing. Okay? But I quit saying, I quit speaking to it. And as a result, it stopped. Remember, I create the fruit of the lips. What's he saying today, Jesus? Father, he hasn't said anything. Ain't much we can do, huh? 2 days later go by. Father says to Jesus, he been saying anything about that psoriasis? And he hadn't said a word. Father goes, I guess we have nothing to work with. I create the fruit of the lips. The heart is laying fallow. In the time of growth, in the time of receiving, no seed being sown in it. So getting back to the seed is in itself. The seed is in itself to produce itself. The seed is in itself to produce itself in your heart. The seed of healing is in itself to produce healing in your heart. The seed, it's in itself to produce the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your heart. The seed is in itself to produce the wisdom that you need when you're coming to the Y in a road where you've got to make a decision from the promise. Rest in the promise of the seed, or rest in the power of the seed. Getting back, the seed will crush the head of the serpent. The seed will crush the head of disease. It might take a while. It might not. But stay with it. What do you got to lose? A lot of people, where they can get, they get help from the natural, that's fine. Like, for instance, diabetes. You know, you can get that under control with medication or insulin or whatever. But what happens with believers, a lot of them just cast away their confidence because they got it under control. Why just get it under control when you can get it eradicated out of your body? You know, it's up to the individual. I don't get all worked up. I know the testimonies I have. And the only reason I have the testimonies I have is I just have a little more understanding. And that's the only difference. You know, people look at you like you're a spiritual guru. You're not a spiritual guru. All you understand is the Word of God, and you're operating it. God did all this. I didn't do none of this. This is all His grace. All right, let's go to Genesis 1:29. I hope we've got a little time left here. Few minutes. Genesis 1:29. And God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth or on the face of the land, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food." Now, what we learned last lesson about trees, a metaphorical picture of humanity. Trees. Jesus is the tree of life. Jesus says a good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears fruit, bad fruit. The bad tree's cut down and thrown in the fire. God is looking for trees to produce good fruit. But what He says here is the seed is in its fruit. Now, I want to step over into the area of finances, because these principles work the same way across the board. The Bible says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom." With the measure that you meet or give out is the measure that comes back to you. We call that an act of giving. You, as a believer, are producing fruit. Your action, which is the doing part of the word. Now remember, I want to just step back where I was. We talked about the saying part in that conversation that the Lord had with Brother Hagin, and the doing part. Actually, those two things summed up everything. That's why it's so vital. When I got a hold of what He said in that conversation, that just opened the understanding to me. It's the saying part and the doing part. Now, I'm using this illustration of giving. As a tree, I desire to produce fruit to my Father. If I am going to give, I just begin to act and give. All right? The act of my doing is a seed. That act, the seed is in itself, to produce back to me. You follow what I'm saying? Now, this is what this scripture is saying here. Every tree with seed in its fruit. If you don't act, you've just lacked, I'm spitting, you just lacked the planting of a seed. You follow what I'm saying? Give, and it shall be given unto you. But if you don't give, you don't release the fruit. Within the fruit lies the seed to produce back to you. Follow what I'm saying here? By other individuals giving to you. Give, and it shall be given to you, because you have done. You have the doing part. The act of doing, you being a tree, you just produce fruit. You produce fruit. Within the fruit itself is the seed to bring harvest back to you. Everybody get a hold of that?
Yes.
So the seed, or every tree with seed in its fruit, will produce back. Now I think I have enough time for this. 2 Corinthians 9:6, and we'll see what Paul has to say. This is the Amplified. He says, remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessing. Now let's read it this way. And I'm extracting the principle out of here. This all has to do with giving and the support of the gospel. Remember this, he who sows the word sparingly, all right, and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. They'll get mad. It don't work. All right. He who sows the word generously, that blessings, I'm going to say it this way, may come to you or yourself, not somebody else, yourself. The principle of sowing and reaping, it don't matter. It's across the board. It's the law. It's been established. I'm extracting the principle out of here. So the one who sows the word generously is the one that's going to reap the blessings to come back to him in a generous way. Do you get that? Okay, let's read it this way. Remember this, he who sows the money or the offering or the gift sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. In other words, God wants you to be a hilarious giver. That's what the Amplified Bible says. Jesus says it's more blessed to give than to receive because you're setting in motion the sowing process for the future. And like what Solomon said back in Ecclesiastes 10, you don't know what evil is in the future. Sow seven, even divide to eight, he said, when you're given, because you don't know what the future holds for it. Holds for you. That's why it's more blessed to give than to receive. You set in motion that operation. Now, one word verse here. 2 Corinthians 9:10, Amplified. And God who provides seed for the sower, bread for eating, will also provide and multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits. There's the fruits. Your actions are fruits. Of your righteousness, which manifests itself in act of goodness, kindness, and charity. Let's read it this way. And God who provides seed, let's say it this way. And God who provides the word for the sower. And bread for your eating will also multiply your seed sown. In your heart, he will multiply your seeds. I'm extracting the principle here out of there. He will multiply your seed sown in your heart. Lord, increase our faith, you would say. You would sow. You getting that? Praise God. Come out better than I thought. And we will close because church is going to start. don't get me going. Oh, this is the start of a sermon.